You know, that's a good sentiment. Let's forget about ourselves and focus on the Lord and worship Him. And when we do that, when we worship Him, it says He comes and inhabits the praises of His people. So the Lord, we know the Lord shows up. So good you're here today. We've got some sick, and we'll mention a couple of them in a little while. First thing you know we usually do, first Sunday of the month, is celebrate birthdays. So for October, Jim Hopkins, October the 8th, he'll be 37 or 38?
37.
Okay. Rita Linker, October the 13th. Greg Edwards, October 16th. Lionel Hahn, October 23. And Brenda Burris, October 31st. All right, are there any others that I've missed? And the anniversaries, Jeremy and Shelby Barbie, October the 1st. Chris and Veronica Whitley, October 14th. Gary and Tonda Hamilton, October 18th. And Tony and Ruth Eford, October 21st. Any other anniversaries? All right, you want to lead us in a happy birthday?
You'll all sing happy birthday with us. You don't have to stand up, but Brenda, if you'll give us a start.
All right, may we pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, a day, a place, a time, to come together, forget about ourselves, and worship Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we want you to know that the very presence of God is welcome in this place. We honor you and we praise you and we desire that you come and you speak to our hearts. If we need comfort, if we need direction, if we need correction, if we need encouragement, if we need strength, if we need healing, Lord, we thank you that you're such a great and mighty God, that you can meet every need that we have. Lord, we want you to know we love you. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Obviously, I'm not Leonard, and don't even begin to fill his shoes, although I probably could, but with my feet size. But anyway, we're going to stand and sing. We have come into his house, our prelude this morning. We're going to go ahead and sing that today because it's one of my favorites. So if you'll stand with me, 361 in the book, or you may look at the words on the screen.
We
Again, we welcome you. We welcome those that might be listening in the parking lot or anyone that would be listening later on the website. And we're always glad to see you as our faithful members. Remind you, Wednesday night, 6:30, our Bible study. We invite you to be a part of that. Several other things you'll notice in your bulletin. The Baptist Women's Meeting, October the 4th at 10 a.m. Widows and Widowers Lunch on Sunday, October the 8th, right after the morning service. And then our Golden Ages Mountain Trip to get some apples and whatever else that you find that you'd like to have. Leaving the church at 8, having late lunch at the Moose Cafe, and then back here sometime that evening. All right, any other announcements we need to make?
Yes, Jeff, you were asked me to invite all the men to meet up front following the worship service. All the Baptist men.
Okay. All right. All right. As we go to the Lord in prayer, you know, of course, there's a big list on the back of the bulletin. I think many of you know by now that Tony Eford fell getting ready to come to church last night for a class supper. And I understand he has a break in a femur or a crack in a femur, and he'll still be in the hospital for several days. So pray for Tony and Ruth. Lori not been feeling so well. So Jeff's dealing with her, and he's not exactly hitting on all eight cylinders himself, so pray for Jeff and for Lori. Who else we need to remember in prayer?
Pastor Robert's just having a little procedure on Tuesday morning, so you'll just pray for him that he'll get good results.
All right, Robert. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, you know, it concerns us to look out there and see that Tony and Ruth and Lori and Robert aren't in their normal places because of sickness. And so, Father, we just lift them up to you, along with all that are on this prayer list, others we know about that aren't on the list but that we've not mentioned verbally. Lord, I thank you so much that you're a God who can look around and see and know and remember all that are hurting. Father, I pray that you'll touch their bodies. I pray that your presence will surround them with your love and your care. And Father, I pray for those who are not physically sick, but are spiritually sick. Those who are backslidden, they're saved, but they're out of fellowship with God. They're out of fellowship many times with their church. And I pray for those who are spiritually dead, unsaved, lost, on their way to an eternal punishment without any hope for all of eternity. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God might go and convict and lead to salvation, lead to restoration. Father, I pray that if we are to be the person that you use to witness to that unsaved person or to that backslidden person, that you enable us to do that. Lead, guide us, empower us. And Father, in a few moments as we study your word, we pray that the same Holy Spirit who inspired the writer will speak to our hearts to understand that word. apply it to our lives. We love you today, Father. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's song, worship song that I picked is Shout to the Lord. So if you guys will stand with us, we've done it a few times before in the sanctuary. The words will be up on the board, and hopefully it's one that you'll remember as the tune starts playing.
All of my days, I want to pray.
Last week, you know, we celebrated the 142nd anniversary of Barbie's Grove Baptist Church. Now we're in the year 143. Wow. I know two or three of you here when it started, but the rest of us, you know, we came in later. Or maybe you just feel like you were here that long. Some days I feel like I've been here since 1840 myself. What's the future hold? What comes next? Where do we go from here? You know, the world we live in is increasingly ungodly and sinful. Or else it may not be increasingly ungodly and sinful. It's just that with the news everywhere and all the social media and everything, we know more about all the ungodly and sinful. We live in a world where people are flaunt their sinfulness a lot more than they did a few years ago. It's just amazing how many times I look at the news on my phone and says, so-and-so, who's evidently some famous person that I've never heard of, because I don't go to the movies and I don't know all the latest famous singers and other people of importance, and they'll say something like, so-and-so's having a baby or their third baby with their girlfriend. Duh. And for some reason, as I was thinking about this morning, I thought about something that I hadn't thought about in a long, long time. Back when I was about 12, 13 years old, I worked for Jennings Whitley at his grocery store, and that's a building now that Oak Grove Baptist Church uses for their fellowship hall. It's on Wiscasset Street. And I remember looking out the door of the store in August, and this lady walking by in a long women's overcoat. And I'm thinking, you've got to be burning up wearing that long women's overcoat. And, you know, for some reason, she walked up and down that road occasionally in that long women's overcoat. And somebody finally told me she was trying to hide the fact that she was unmarried and expecting a baby by wearing that heavy overcoat so that people couldn't see that her waist was expanding. You know, we live in a world that's very, very much more open about flaunting their sinfulness. We live in a world where a lot of folks say they're Christian. By their lifestyle, seem to say, I've never opened the Bible. I've never read anything about how I ought to live. They say they're Christian, but when you look at their lifestyle, you wonder, what brand of Christianity did they have? We live in a world where if you are a real Christian and a Bible-reading, Bible-studying, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christian, they don't like you much. They call you judgmental, hateful, bigoted, and a lot of other names that aren't up to me to say in the pulpit. So, in this world that we live in, what do we say? Well, one of the things I think is it reminds us that we're in the end times, that Jesus is coming soon. That because of the way we live in this world and the things that we see, Jesus has got to be coming soon. But we also need to be reminded that God's still on our side and God's still all-powerful. And I want to turn, I just feel impressed to look at an Old Testament passage of Scripture today, Isaiah 54. And that's not too long of a chapter, 17 verses, so I'm going to read it and then make some comments on it. Isaiah 54. And the Lord used this to almost 40 years ago to really bless my heart when I was going through a special difficult time because of the way some people were acting. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn unto the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shalt thou the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncle and all the borders of thy pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for my sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, you get a picture here. Israel, the nation of Israel, is feeling like a woman that's not had children. She's barren. And she's sad. She's disappointed. Israel feels like life just isn't productive. Good things aren't happening. And this the phrase, like a wife that has been deserted, and a wife that is a widow, and a wife that is being mistreated. The whole idea is that Israel is in a situation where they're hurting. Life just isn't as they thought it ought to be and as they want it to be. And in that situation where they're hurting so desperately, God sends the prophet Isaiah with a word to them. And as you really read this, it's an encouraging word. It says, even though you think things aren't going well right now, even though you're disappointed and you're hurting and you're miserable in a way, it's going to be all right. And notice there, the very first thing he says, sing, break forth into singing, cry aloud, nor shout. First thing Isaiah tells them, he says, I know you're miserable. But begin to sing and shout. Begin to praise the Lord. And that's still good scripture. You know, you feeling blue? You feeling down? You feeling depressed? You can get over in your chair and just bow your heads, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Or you can begin to praise the Lord. You know, in the another verse in Isaiah says, put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Now, every one of you, now some of you guys, maybe your wife did it for you. You got to the closet this morning and you picked out what you were going to wear. With me, it has to do whether I can button it or not. I've got some I can't button. I know none of y'all have that problem, but you know, we pick out. So when I get out of bed every morning, I can get out and put on heaviness. I can get out and put on woe is me and depression, or I can get out and put on praise to the Lord. And when I get up and start praising the Lord, even if I started out feeling not so great, if I started out feeling so sort of miserable, before you know it, I keep praising the Lord. And what we just sing, let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Him. And when we do that, the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. He comes and lives in our midst. And suddenly our mood begins to improve. We feel encouraged. We feel the presence of the Lord. And so He says, sing. Your situation hasn't changed yet, but sing and shout. Praise the Lord. And what are some of the other encouraging words down through this? He said, more of the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. He says, keep on being faithful. And he says, children are going to come. What did Paul write to the Galatians? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if what? You faint not. If you faint not. There comes a time, if we are faithful, when there will be a harvest. It doesn't always come in our timing, because we can't manipulate other people. Now, if you manipulate somebody down the aisle to make a profession of faith and be baptized, they go through the water of baptism as a wet, a dry sinner, and they come out a wet sinner, and they're not a bit better off than they were. But if you witness to somebody and you share with somebody and they come to know Jesus in a personal way, there's a harvest. We go, and there's a harvest. He tells them in verse 4, fear not, I'm going to do away with your shame. Fear not. Even though things don't always look great, fear not. What did Paul write to Timothy? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And we can fear a lot of things. We can fear getting old. We fear going hungry. We fear of being broke. We can fear all kinds of things. And some people just live in fear. But he says, don't be afraid. The situation and the circumstances around you may look weird, but fear not. Because God is with us. Fear not. And why do we fear not? Verse 5 says, your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. He says, don't be afraid. Remember who your God is. Remember who your God is. When we live in a world that's messed up, it's easy to be afraid. But just remember who God is. As you've heard many preachers and teachers say, go read the last book, chapters of the Bible. We win. We win. We may look like we're going through difficult times, but we win because of who God is. And then verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. He said, you know, it's like I swore to Noah, no more will there be a universal flood in Manhattan. He says, the mountains may fall down, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall thy covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Says, we don't fear and we lose our shame and we are courage when we remember who our God is. And remember his goodness to us. One of the books of the Bible that most of us don't really get the significance is the book of Job. We read for chapter after chapter after chapter of all the troubles that Job went through, and his friends came and they were miserable comforters. They kept saying, Job, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault that you lost all everything. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And his wife, you know, she was a real encouragement. Why don't you just curse God and die? Now, you're feeling there. You've got sores and boils, and your children are dead, and your wealth is gone, and your wife comes up and says, I wish you'd just die. Really, really good. But read the last chapter of Job. And what does it say? God gave him double of everything he lost. Had new children, new wealth, everything. I wonder if he still had the same wife. I don't know. The Bible, he doesn't tell us. But anyway, he had double. And most scholars think all that trouble lasted about 6 months. And then he had many, many years of blessing afterwards. So when we're going through a difficult time, just remember God's on his throne, and we may go through a period of trouble at a time, but there's coming a time when we come out and we're strong. Because of God's mercy, God's kindness, God's love. And in verse 12, I'll make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to make you beautiful. I'm going to give you a beautiful situation. It's like you say, we've got the stained glass windows here, and they're beautiful. So he's saying, you're going to be surrounded with beauty. Not only are you going to be blessed, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be, and I'm going to make your life beautiful. And then in verse 13 and 14, he says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. You'll not fear for terror isn't coming near you. He says, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have children that live in righteousness and peace. You're going to have a situation where they have a heart that's open to the Lord, and the Lord will teach them. And they will be blessed. And I think we need to really focus on verse 15. Behold, thou shalt surely gather, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Contemporary culture says, if you got problems, God did it. He says, Isaiah says, God didn't do it. God says, just because you're having problems, I'm not out to get you. It's like I've written a number of times in the newsletter, and I've said several number of times in teaching and preaching. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life abundantly, a blessed life. Now, as I wrote up, the week before, if that front porch was covered with snakes or lions or tigers or something, and we're foolish enough to go out there and open both doors wide open, we can expect some trouble. And the sins of mankind have brought on us a lot of things. Not the Lord didn't do it. We opened the door to the devil to beat up on us. The Lord says, I didn't. They'll get it together, but I didn't do it. And the verse that meant so much to me years ago, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And they finishes up with saying, this is what I'm promising you. This is what I'm promising you. It didn't say there wouldn't be any weapons formed against us. It didn't say they wouldn't have a little effectiveness. But it says they're not going to prosper. They're not going to have a long-term effect. Now, in going through this chapter, you notice something. If you think about it, I skipped our responsibility. Do you notice there's a couple of verses that talk about our responsibility? What our part of the process is. Look at verse 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. God says productivity and blessing is coming. Abundant blessing. And he gives us two instructions. Strengthen and lengthen. You turn on your TV and the weatherman says hurricane's about to hit Wilmington or Charleston or Florida or some other state. And they'll pan in on people that are doing what? Nailing or screwing plywood over the windows. Filling up sandbags and stacking them on the shore and filling up sandbags and stacking them around their house. They are preparing for difficulty. They're preparing for trouble. Now, when we live in this world with the problems that are going on in our world, we've got two choices. We can do that woe is me thing. We can give up and quit. And a lot of people drop out of church when troubles come. Or we can strengthen our walk with God. We can walk stronger with the Lord. We can double down and triple down on our studying the scriptures and our prayer time and our being with fellow believers who encourage us and lift us up. Now, some believers will pull you down, so you have to be careful. But there are people that when I'm around, You know, when I leave, I may have gone to encourage them, but when I leave, I feel like I'm on top of the world and I could whoop the devil with one hand tied behind my back. You know, encouraged. In other words, he's saying, strengthen. You know, he's talking about somebody living in a tent, and he talks about strengthen thy stakes, your tent pegs. He's saying, strengthen. Make sure they're secure. And one of the greatest bits of advice that can come to any of us is to strengthen our walk with God so that when difficult times come and the wind's blowing, we stay strong. The Bible never says you won't go through some difficult times. You know, Jesus, the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, one of our responsibilities, one of the things that will be a blessing, is that we need to strengthen our stakes. We need to make sure of our faith. Paul says, make your calling and election sure. Go on and on in your salvation. Grow in your salvation. Develop your faith. You know, it's not a good time to be a wimpy Christian. Did you hear that? It's not a good time to be a wimpy Christian. It's a good time to be a strong Christian. It's a good time to be the kind of Christian that we read about. Really, think about Sunday school lessons. And these people didn't even have what we have as far as the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Daniel. They passed this law that says, buddy, if you pray to any god but the king, you go to the lion's den. It's just interesting. It says Daniel went and opened his window toward heaven, toward Jerusalem, and prayed. Now, the old boy could have gone to a closet. He could have gone to a basement or something. He could have kept the window closed. He could have hid that he was praying to God. But he just went and opened the window, and everybody drive by, walk by, ride their horse by, ride their camel by, could look up there and say, what's that dude doing? He's praying. He was not a wimpy believer in God. I think about the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Everybody's got to fall down. When the music sounds, everybody's got to fall down and worship the statue. Well, everybody did, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Now, there's at least one other person that wasn't worshiping because they were peeping. I mean, how did somebody know that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego didn't worship the statue? Somebody was looking. Somebody was peeping. But they said, King, throw us in the furnace. Our God's going to save us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship you and your statue. Now, they weren't wimpy believers. They weren't wimpy believers. Strengthen your walk with God. You're going to need it in the days to come before Jesus takes us out of here. He also says, lengthen your cords. In other words, enlarge your tent. You know, a lot of the books that I've read of Genesis talk about somebody living in a mountain cabin. Well, you know, back in those days, didn't have all the access to lumber and things, and they built these little log cabins to live in. Fireplace on one end and room enough for a bed and for a table and a few chairs and a little storage space. Well, man and wife, that's all you need. But when children start coming along, what do they have to do? Well, a lot of times they added a loft and nailed a ladder to the wall and they climbed up and the kids slept in the loft. But then when it got to be where the kids were a little older and, you know, some of them boys and some of them girls, that wasn't really an ideal situation. So what'd they do? They added a little room off to one side or to the back or maybe two little rooms so that there's room for others. They started off with one thing, but they added to it as the need arose. Through Isaiah, the Lord's saying to us, we need to expand. We need to expand. Now, what does that say to Barber's Grove? One, we need to expand our hearts in love for people. We need to expand our outreach to reach people that are lost, that don't know Jesus. We need to expand our outreach to reach people that are unchurched. We need to expand our outreach to reach people that have moved in this area from somewhere else and are looking for a church. We need to expand with the desire that we're going to bring in others. Expand our love for the world. He says, strengthen your stakes and stretch out your cords. He says, you're going to break forth. You're going to have a harvest. David and I were talking a few minutes ago about farming and what a faith practice it is. You plow the field, you plant the seed, you put out fertilizer and weed killer and all hoping and believing that the Lord's going to send rain and sun at the appropriate time and a harvest is going to come and then the Lord's going to take the rain away so that you can get the harvest in before it spoils. The Bible tells us, he that goes forth bearing precious seed shall without a doubt come back bearing his precious sheaves with him. Stretch forth your cords. Do you have a heart of love for people that are lost, people that need Jesus? You know, our effort as we walk in the will of God will bring forth a harvest. Not because of just our effort, but because we're walking in the will of God and we're walking in the power of God, the anointing of God. And he says, we will burst out, break out on every side. As we start year 143, strengthen your walk with God. Go deeper with the Lord. Lengthen your stakes or your cords. Reach out. Reach out to those who are lost, backslidden, unchurched. When we do that, we'll be blessed. Now, if we just sit here, we can allow the circumstances of this world to discourage us and defeat us. But if we'll be faithful, we'll have a harvest. I think everybody here would say that we're a believer. If you need to come to the altar and pray, would you come right on? If you need to share something with me, I'll meet you at the altar. But Wes, as we have a little music, would you just allow the Lord to speak to your hearts? Practice singing even when it's not convenient. Practice shouting to the Lord. Father God, we thank you that even though we live in a troubled world, you are still on the throne. Your Holy Spirit is our encourager. He is our teacher as we study your holy word. And Father, I pray for this congregation and any others from other congregations that might listen later on the website. I pray, Father, that we might grow deeper and stronger and more committed in our walk with you. I pray that our heart of love will cause us to open up and reach out to those around us who need Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that when we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit, a harvest will come. I thank you, Father, for that promise that as we go forth and bear a seed, we're going to come back carrying our sheaves of harvest. And you remind me that scripture says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing his seed. It means they really care. Lord, help us not to do these things out of duty. Help us to do these things because we really, really care. Help us to do them because we hurt for a lost and dying world. We hurt to think about people that are gone to hell and others that might be going that way. And we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that anoints us and goes with us. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' name.